Today, we're going to talk about rebellion and a rebellious people. So those would be rebels. And we're talking about God's people. We can think about our children. We can think about the nation. It's a rebellious nation. It's a rebellious people in the nation. And that's what the nation of Israel was a rebellious people. You rebel against authority. To rebel is to go against an authority. The book of Proverbs says that rebellion is a treasonous act. It's a treasonable act. Proverbs 17:11 says, "An evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him." The Living Bible says, it says, "The wicked live for rebellion. They shall be severely punished." Whereas the Amplified Bible says, "A rebellious man seeks only evil. Therefore, a cruel messenger will be sent against him." And, you know, there's different instances of rebellion in the Bible. We have Absalom when he rebelled against his father, King David. 2 Samuel, the 15th chapter, the 16th verse, and the 17th and 18th verse. We have Sheba when he rebelled against David. 2 Samuel, 20th chapter. Also, we've seen the revolt of the 10 tribes of Israel, which Solomon brought about that, his actions in during the reign of Solomon, which could cause the division of the tribes, which occurred in his son's Rehoboam reign. And so you read of it in 1 Kings 12, 16 through 20, 2 Chronicles 10, and 13th chapter 5 through 12. Of that rebellion. But sometimes God allows rebellion, causes rebellion. It's a different reason, you know, rebellion comes about. But it's all in the heart of the individual or whatever. God used circumstances and everything. As we say, God is sovereign, and His providence is working out everything in His providential will, in His way. And He uses those six circumstances to his advantage. The chapter 30th of Isaiah, we see where Isaiah comes in and says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that taketh counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that may add sin to sin. They walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh, his shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion." The strength, it says, "Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust of the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes." You can read about that thing back in the 20th or 13th chapter, something earlier we had read about that part of it. But it says, "They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help, nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beast of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and the old lion, the viper and the fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help them in vain and to no purpose. Therefore I have cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. Now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, and prophesy deceit." These are people that demands a lot, just like the Americans nowadays and the Christians, they demand a whole lot and the expectation is a whole lot. But at heart, they are rebellious people. They're rebellious against the government. They rebel against God. Makes me think of Peter when he says they are natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. That's why God calls us from amongst Babylon, this our Babylon. We can see the destruction. You know, it's really how they're rebelling against government in the name of God, and some of them are using the name of God. Talking about God, their faith is to protect them from the virus and the pandemic, yet still they're exposing people to it, and they are actually the ones who's causing the virus to spread and put the nation in the shape it is today through their rebellion, through their not following authority that God had placed in authority. When you rebel against any given authority, like when you rebel against your parents, a lot of the consequences, I tell people, a lot of the things that they're reaping in their lives is because they rebel against their parents, the authority in their lives, you know, when, you know, and there are consequences to that. Sometimes it come back and get you later in life, and it's horrible consequences, and it's not always easy. It is not always easy to get back on track. So you have to give account for the things that you've done in your body, you know. That's why it says he that hated his father or mother or whatever, when you raise up against different authority, and you say be subject to those that who have reign authority on you. Well, they don't listen at their governments or their leaders. They don't even listen at their pastors and teachers. So they don't really listen to anybody, and that's bred in the American society. Be independent, be free will, do what you want to do, and every man's right in his own eyesight. And no wonder the nation is in the peril it is today, and God says it has to be a people that be destroyed. See, he was taking them in captivity. He told them to go into captivity to the king of Babylon. But there were this group of people that fled and didn't go into captivity. They went down to Egypt for help. They wanted Egypt to help them. They was dependent on a broken reed like Egypt. Egypt was a broken down government. It's like our last president talking about Russia and make friends with Russia. Well, Russia is an atheistic, it's an atheistic nation. In other words, Putin doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. He doesn't believe in a sovereign God. These people are anti-God. They're atheists. And there are some within the Soviet Union that may believe in God. God has people amongst all the people. But he's trying to unite us to Russia or someone, trying to make us make an alliance to Russia, a nation that couldn't feed its own, a nation that's teetering on destruction itself, on poverty, all kinds of problems that's going on in Russia. He's trying to get us to go back and make an alliance with Russia. What a foolish nation we're in. What a foolish people we have. The book of Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now remember, this rebellion, he's going to be clearing out. Some of the remnants will fall prey to Satan because there's a judgment that has to come upon the church, a judgment as the house of God. And I told you some of this stuff is dual prophecies. A lot of it will be occurring at the same time. The prophecies will be fulfilling. They don't have to, one prophecy, they don't have to end and then another one separate from it. God works a many, he cooks with a lot of pots. There's a lot of mixtures going on. And he shows this to his people. In the Amplified Version, it says, but as for cowards and unbelieving and the abominable, who are devoid of character and personal integrity and practice or tolerate immorality, and murderers and sorcerers, those that fool with intoxicating drugs. Remember I say being drunk not with the spirit but with wine and intoxicating beverages, and nowadays it's alcohol or under the influence of other things, and it's also of different spirits. Spiritual adultery. idolaters and occultists who practice and teach false religions. And that's the biggest problem. Jesus talked about false prophets and antichrist and false teachers much more than he talked about a whole lot of other things. It was going to be a many of them arising. That's the problem with the nation today. It's too much false religion. It's too much anti-God teaching, a mixing of doctrine, of syncretism. When you take all these religions and meld them together and you read or hear non-denominationalism, that's a problem we have today. Not no sound doctrine going forth. Lack of hearing the word of God. What causes the sin of fear? Because it says cowards and unbelieving and the fearful wouldn't inherit the kingdom of God. What causes this fearful or unbelieving or being afraid? People are fearful of the pandemic, fearful of taking a vaccine, fearful of the virus killing them, fearful of the government. The government has some kind of conspiracy going on. It's nothing but fear. And those fears can overtake you. He didn't mean for us to live in a life of fear. That's why Job said those things that I fear had come upon us. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. When you come upon a fearful or afraid people, you're talking about a people that doesn't reverence God. Because God says, fear him and fear him only. So our fear and reverence only goes to God. He says, fear him that can destroy the body and the soul, but fear him who could do that and throw the spirit and soul in all in hell. In other words, the destruction of your soul. The second item listed in Revelation 21 and 8 points to the answer. Unbelief. Unbelief. And that's the problem. And whenever anybody talking to me, I ask them, you know, it goes back. I was talking with a cousin of mine yesterday or whatever. I asked him, I said, well, what church you go to? He said, well, I'm going to go back to church. I'm going back to mine. I left my old church where I was baptized in. You're talking about something that happened 40 or 50 years ago. You hadn't been there since then. Probably that preacher probably died or whatever. We don't know if that church preached the same thing. What has evolved in that church? You really don't believe in God. See, we can't just go to God. I remember an older person that told me that we can't go to God. Jesus Christ has to show us the Father. He has to open the door before we can go boldly before the throne of grace to go before God. We have to come by the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will show us the Father. He'll reveal the Father unto us at that revelation. Book of Psalm 78:13-16 gives us an example of how this works, of how this unbelief works. Because remember, he destroyed those that came out of the Egypt because of unbelief. Now, the unbelief wasn't in the things of the world. It was an unbelief in trusting in God. So there's a lack of trusting in God. That's what was at the crux of their rebellion in going against that authority, because they didn't believe God. They didn't trust God. Their fear and distrust was based in not having faith or trust of God. The book of Psalms says, for he divided the sea before them and led them through. The water stood up like walls on both sides of them. In the daytime, he led them by a cloud, a pillar of a cloud, and at nighttime by a pillar of fire. He split open the rocks in the wilderness to give them plenty of water to drink. And as from a gushing spring, he made streams pour from the rock, making the waters flow down like a river. With all of these miracles that was listed and that God performed to provide for the need of his people, continuing in Psalm 78:17-28, we see their response to God's clear display of his love and his care for them. And throughout life, your children don't know what all you do for them, to put a roof over their heads, to keep the lights on, to put food on the table, to raise them and put clothes on their backs. And that's what God protected them in the wilderness. Their feet didn't swell. Their clothes didn't wear out. They had plenty to eat and everything. But they are material people. They were flesh, they were carnal people. Same as the people are today. The same as the people are today. That comes about by another spirit, another thing of being ungrateful and unthankful. That's why a lot of people, but we're looking at the makings of why it's a rebellious people. It's the character, the nature of the person, that heart. The heart, the rebellion lies at the, in the heart. 17 through 21 says, yet they kept on with their sin, rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. They willfully tested God in their hearts, demanding the foods that they craved. You remember the flesh? Can God provide meat in this wilderness? We have this manna of bread that he's providing every day. We're not happy with that. We remember the leeks, the melons, the garlic. Can he provide meat? They even spoke against God himself, saying, can God give us food in the desert? Yes, he can strike a rock so water gushes out, but can he give his people bread and meat? When the Lord heard them, he was angry. The fire of his wrath burned against Jacob. Yes, his anger rose up against them. You know, that's one thing about his children. We see in the government nowadays with the people in society, and a lot of us wonder at the unvaccinated, wonder at the people that are murmuring and complaining. Here it is, the government, and one of the presidents that ushered in a hell brightness in, instead of him telling the people and encouraging the people in this, he put them against it. He hadn't even encouraged the vaccine. He hadn't encouraged the people to follow after this. This is how devices are, and what a rebel he is in heart. This is the one that rebelled against the authority of our election. This is the one who divided the nation. No record, in record time, we had this vaccine. He should be trying to, he should take credit for that if he won't take credit for something that he boosted this on. At no time had we had a vaccine rush to market so fast to stop an epidemic in its tracks, but yet and still he rebelled against God providing a way out for his people, and he like Korah. He like Korah and Dayton did. God only speaks through Joe Biden or somebody else. Now, look, we're in the midst of a worse pandemic now than before we had the vaccine. Because of a rebellious people, a rebellious nation, an unthankful people. They're no better than the people that worship Moloch, that sacrifice their children in the fall. You have these imbeciles talking about sending their children to school without masks, unvaccinated or whatever. Science and people are saying it's attacking the children. There are no pediatric wards in the state. There's no beds open. In the state of Florida, it was two or three beds to 2 million children that was available. Only two beds. And yet, you still, you saying start school, you thinking monetarily, you thinking materially, getting the economy boost at the peril of your children's lives? That's what they did doing in the wilderness. He said, God has brought us out here to destroy us and our children. No, God is trying to help you and your children, but you can't see God in your rebellious heart, your unbelief, failing to trust him. Rebels is a problem. Disobedience is at the heart of rebelling, and that's a heart that hadn't been circumcised to follow God. Because he told Saul, he says, rebellion is worse than the sin of witchcraft, because it's obedience. God would rather you obey God than to produce a sacrifice. It is better to obey God than sacrifice. God's telling us, obey those who have rule authority over you. Here's some governor saying he's not going to pay the people that would recommend a mandate to keep the children from getting the virus, protecting those that have a false belief in religion. That's why he said to the occultists, in other words, that's preaching a false religion, because you can say, well, my faith can protect me, but the Bible does also say, tempt not the Lord thy God. So I wouldn't advise you to go to Kentucky or Tennessee or Texas or anywhere going into some religious cult that believe in playing with rattlesnakes and things, saying, he said, you should pick up any deadly thing. Jesus told him, when he says, if you're the Son of God, hurl yourself off this mountain. He says, Rick, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I think if it's a fact, the fact is that this thing has killed over 600 or 700 thousand people. I don't know if they're even keeping track of it anymore. We may be around a million people that this pandemic has killed or before it's finished killing, and now we're looking at years before you could smolder this fire. So you saying you have faith, are you tempting God? See, a lot of times you can tempt God because of your unbelief. False teachers will get you out there. That's why it says they couldn't enter the kingdom of heaven because you would rebel in heaven. That's why Satan was cast down here to the earth. That's why he's so deadly, because he had deceived a third of the angels in heaven that had tasted of the heavenly gift, and they rebelled and followed against Satan. What do you think of a nation that has such ignoramuses running around as we have now? Even though God had provided water in abundance, they were afraid that he would not provide bread and meat. What was the basis of the cause for this fear? The answer follows in the Psalm 78, chapter 22, verse. For they did not believe God or trust him to care for them. Not trusting God. That's why, you know, women a lot of times want a man to go out of his way to do everything to prove that he loved them. Well, truth is every day. We've been married 40 years, and you know your wife still wouldn't be beyond saying, well, if you love me, you wouldn't do this. You would. That's what Delilah told Samson. Well, if you love me, you wouldn't do this. We always want a sign or some sign to show how much we love. That's a problem. That's not having faith. That's not an undying trust. Amazing, after all God did for them, they still did not muster the necessary faith and trust in God and his love for them. No matter what you've done for your children or whatever, Daddy, you don't love me. You love me, you'd get me a brand new car. You'd do this for me, you'd do that. It's always they want you to do something, but they don't reciprocate the love through obedience and following after your instructions. For unto us was the gospel preached, the book of Hebrews says, the 4th chapter and the 2nd verse. Says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. See, you have to hear the word of God. That's where faith cometh, by hearing. But then you have to trust and believe in that word, in what God had said. They didn't trust and believe God. They didn't believe that he could protect them and care for them. They didn't believe he was doing in the right way, because they were demanding that God show signs, just like the Pharisees came to Jesus saying, demanding of a sign. What sign you will show us? And Jesus said, it's an adulterous generation that looking for a sign. He said, there'll be no sign given you but the sign of Jonas the prophet. Now, it was going to be in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. They've changed that to that he went in on Easter, on Good Friday, and came out on Sunday morning. That's not 3 days and 3 nights. You didn't change the word of God. No wonder you're so confused. Easter confuses you, because here people say, well, okay, Jesus said that the sign that he was going to give was the prophet Jonas. And he said you're going to be in the grave. He was going to be in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. This the man that in the beginning in Genesis said in the morning and the evening and was the first day and was the night. And he sat and told us what days and nights was the morning and the evening from dawn to this time. And then he said he was going to be in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. And now we saying he was crucified on a Friday evening and put in the grave, and he rose that Sunday morning. Where's his word then? His word is not true. He was calling the Jewish. It was a part of this day and a part of that night. I don't see where he said that. He said he was going to be in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. Let's not change or add on to God's word. You're going to make a rebel of this thing. You're going against written instruction. You have a more sure word of prophecy, and it's the written word here. 3 days and 3 nights he was going to be dead and in that grave. And he wasn't going to be somewhere preaching to some spirits in hell. That's an erroneous teaching there. He was dead and in that grave. Dead means dead. He was going to be in the grave 3 days and three nights. That's what he said. I believe what he said. When push comes to shove, do we believe God's promises? That's what we're looking at. That's what our lives are based on, the promises that's in his word. That's the only thing we have is his promises. We have faith in his promises, in what God had said. I think that's what this whole thing is about, is Satan came back and said, oh, God didn't mean what he said, you know. Have God surely said that? Don't listen at what God said. You shall not surely die. Hold on now. You saying that God says something and don't mean it? If he said it, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not his word. You're trying to get me to believe in fairy tales and magicians and rabbits coming out of a hat and with Easter eggs and Easter bunny and Santa Claus and all these things. I ain't going for it. I'm just not going to believe it. I'm going to rebel against that, but not the word of God. Do we trust God to the extent of his care? Listen to what God says, the word of God, in the book of John, the 17th chapter, in the 23rd verse. Now, if we're joint heirs with Christ and he's our brother, he will be made in his image and his likeness. This is what he says. He says, I in them and thou in me. He's talking to the Father. He said, that they may be perfect in one. I in them, if he's in us, the Holy Spirit's in us, guiding and leading us in all truth. He's the author and the finisher of our faith to make us perfect and deliver us, reconcile us unto God. He had redeemed us. He says that they may be made perfect in one. So we have to be in Christ. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Well, we know God had sent Christ. He was an apostle. He was sent by the Father. He's the chief. He's the cornerstone. He was sent by the Father to do a job, in which he did that job. He completed and he says, it is finished. I've done what you told me to do. And I do believe he did everything God. So there's nothing else we can add to his works. I believe it's a finished work. But then there's this last few verses of the chapter. Last few verses of that verse. The last half. It says, and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Hold on, you mean God loved me with the same love he loved Jesus Christ? Well, that's what his word says. He loved them as he has loved me. You know, Jacob's brother thought that Joseph loved, that Jacob loved Joseph more than he did them, and they did all kinds of things to Joseph. You have children that holler, they the favorite child. That's what happened with Isaac and Rebekah playing with Esau and Jacob. That one got the birthright and she dressed him up to steal a birthright. God had already told her he was going to end up with the birthright. She didn't believe God. She had to work this out herself. She rebelled against God's authority. She didn't see that son no more. She died while he was at Laban's house. You remember, he fled. Esau, he said, I'm going to kill you for that. I'll kill you for that, for stealing the birthright. I'll kill you for that. He had already took the promise. You remember when he sold him, was it the birthright? Then he took something else from him when he was hungry for the lentils, and he sold him the birthright. But then what happened was he stole the blessing from him. That's what he stole, the blessing of the firstborn. He dressed up as a goat and fooled his father that he was Esau. Esau said, I'll kill you for that one. I'll kill you. And that's when he put him on the run. Jacob was on the run. That's what rebellion, that's the consequences of going against what God. Let God work this thing out. Yeah. See, we're not patient and trust and believe that God loves us. Everybody, oh, he's the favorite child. He's the favorite. There's no partiality with God. God is impartial, right? He's not partial. And he says one he had loved, the other he had hated. So if God loves us, he say love us, he loves us. He don't have to pick one. That's why in the resurrection they're not married, not giving it marriage. There's no grandchildren and great-grandchildren. You brothers and sisters and in the Lord. There's no male or female. There's no partiality with God. He teaches us against being partial. So we have to realize that he loved us with that same love. But that love did abandon Jesus on the cross, didn't it? Because it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, because he had laid his sin, our sin upon him, and he had went into darkness. God couldn't go near the sin. He couldn't go into darkness. He could raise him back up to the light and give him all power because you've done what I asked you to do. If you bleed me to the death, I allowed you to be murdered, and he knew he was going to come down here and suffer a crucifying death on the cross. Peter trying to stop him, rebel against God's authority and die the way he says, nevertheless, thy will be done. So I'm not going to rebel against that authority. I know what is written. I know what my job is to do. The suffering and the pain that I have to do, I'm not going to rebel against that authority. What God had given me to do, the job I'm going to do. And he promises that he'll come to our aid in Psalms 34 and 14. But there's many afflictions we will have to go through. We will suffer. See, that's what's happening nowadays. People don't want to suffer. You got people right now who are willing to kill their grandmothers and their children and everybody else instead of wearing a little 4-inch piece of cloth with two strings tied to it and put around their mouth and their nose. Instead of wearing a mask, I got a right not to wear this mask. But you don't have a right to kill everybody else with this disease that's going around. Your right has infringed upon my right, my will to live. If you get into that, you pretty get into abortion analogy when the woman says it's her right to do what she wants to do with her body. See, you bringing that argument in upon when you wearing this, not wanting to wear a mask, and it's your right. What is it? His right to drink and drive to get behind the wheel of a car drunk? It's not a right because it violates another law. It violates a precedent there. Psalms 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. That's what David says. He knows that. Let's read it. The Amplified says, many hardships and perplexing circumstances confront the righteous, but the Lord rescues him from them all. The Living Version said, the good man does not escape all troubles, and he has them too, but the Lord helps him in every one. I think the Lord could help me through this to not hurt anyone else. If I would wear a mask, I wouldn't spread this word. He's going to give me strength to suffer those afflictions, or if I call it a hardship or a setback or whatever. I think I could wear that, though, if it would stop and put the economy back where it was. Because we had almost defeated this thing. But this thing morphed and it metastasized and changed, and another variant came about that we can't stop hardly now. Not keep on change. That pandemic is getting worse. They say it might not peak in September now. Early October, I mean. That's from your rights or whatever. Well, what was God's response to the Israelites' display of fear? It says the fire of his wrath burned against Jacob. See, fire is the response to fear from the God who does not change. That's the response. And that's what's coming down. Remember, John says it won't be water, but it'll be fire the next time. He cometh, and it's going to be a fiery judgment of God. Will be a trial by fire. That's the judgment of God's coming now. It's just like the fire that's going through California, through the Midwest or whatever. It's purging, it's purifying. That behind it will grow back stronger and more beautiful. It will burn up the undergrowth and everything else, but it will also distill a lot of other things. It will be a lot of growth after that passes by, but it's going to be some suffering, afflictions of that. And the same thing with the church. This has to go through the church and those that suffer through it. That's many who died who now, I don't really go for their testimonies or whatever, trying to convince other people to take the virus. They like the that says, well, please send back Jesus to somebody to warn my brothers not to come to this place. Well, if they have Moses and the prophets, well, they have the law. People are telling them, wear the mask. When you die, don't go back and tell nobody else. You violated. You brought this. This is the consequences you brought upon yourself. You had a chance at this. But Malachi 3:6 says that God's fire is a result of fear from not changing and doing what God says. Fear, then, is the result of a lack of faith, not believing in God's power and especially His loving willingness to act on our behalf. So I think that's a lack of faith. I don't think it's a faith that God will bring us through certain things and not others. When it was two different people at this school, one says, we have faith that in Jesus Christ that He's going to keep us from this virus, He's going to protect us from this virus, and we don't have to wear a mask. The other one was God-fearing people and says, we have faith that Jesus Christ is going to help us to save others from this by wearing masks and protecting others. So, Christians, gas cost me the same thing stopping at that service station down there does it, y'all. Though I'm a preacher, I don't get gas free. So we will have to do the things of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So we will have to stop and eat like everybody else eats. You can fast and get spiritually strong through fasting or whatever, but sooner or later, you will have to stop and fill up the tank with physical food. You will have to obey the physical laws of nature. You will have to take a bath. Jesus was in the boat asleep. You can't say, well, I'm a child of God. I don't have to get sleep. God's going to protect me from that. No, you will need to sleep. Okay, let's keep going here. The fearful are that way because they lack faith. Christ reveals this connection in Mark, the 4th chapter, in the 40th verse, when he says, but he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why are you so scared? What? No cowards, no fearful are entering in. Now, we're not talking about things with common sense. These people were fearful that God wasn't going to be able to keep them. When Christ saw fear, his immediate response was to question that person's faith. And that's why I said, well, people see me walking down the street and somebody else walking down the street. One of us not a Christian, one of us, both of us could be Christians. Okay, let's say both of us say we're Christians. I don't have a mask, they don't have a mask. I'm talking to somebody, they go in a public building. The difference is, I've been vaccinated, you hadn't been vaccinated. So you're a carrier, and your religion is not, your belief is not going to sustain you because it's no proof of that. Whereas Christ is proof of our faith because He rose from the dead. Okay, now, also what they're saying about the mask is because you could have been vaccinated, you could have some of the variant in you and still spread it from others. You could be asymmetric. You asymptomatic. You don't have to get sick from it, but you could get somebody else sick from it. They could catch it from you even though you're not sick. So why take the chance of giving it to somebody else when you're not suffering from it? Why would you cause somebody else to suffer? And you don't even might not even know you gave it to them. Why take that chance? Why tempt the Lord? That's a temptation of God, I think. Fear is a very human reaction. As Christ indicates, how we respond depends on our degree of faith. And that's what I think the false teachers and the people that have spun this way of telling the people not to get vaccinated and do all this. That's why I say I think private industry could regulate itself. And it's a hypocrite in Florida. Now, how he's going to regulate the school board and the private industry, the cruise industry, from mandating something, and your platform from the Republican Party says big government or government should stay out of private affairs or private business or whatever, but he's trying to dictate to the cruise line everybody else what to do. And now I'm going to go around the issue. I'm going to say anybody within the schools that mandate a mask won't get paid. The school boards won't get paid. And then the people say, well, we'll take that chance. It's seven counties that's rebelling against that. That's why I say there is such a thing as civil disobedience. So by them rejecting it, they could reject pay. But then you remember when Pharaoh told the midwives to do a certain thing, that God came in and protected the midwives? Well, herein comes the government. Jan Psaki the other day, the White House news correspondent, the lady that heads the news thing, the job that Sarah Huckabee had. But anyhow, she's the press leader, whatever. She was saying the other night on television, said, well, within this COVID relief bill, within this, there's money going to the school systems and things that's allocated federal funds that the state doesn't have control over. These are federal funds that could be used to pay the salary of those that he's saying that he's not going to pay their salary. Lo and behold, God works in mysterious ways. So, let's see how we continue on here. But like he says, a rebellious people. So, we're looking at a nation, and that's why people don't relate that Israel was a nation, and as you become a nation and a group of people, there are different laws that are going out, and all of Israel wasn't religious. The political entities and the false prophets that they had taken over. You remember all of the priests and the Levites had migrated from Israel down into Judah because Jeroboam had nothing but false religion going on. You know, he had golden calf worship and all this. Well, it's the same thing within our nation. This religion, this other Jesus has taken over politically and religiously, and so it's contaminated the whole nation. Just like Israel was contaminated, only a remnant survived. And the same thing will be with our nation, a remnant. Okay, let's keep walking here. When faith is weak or non-existent, fear becomes the controlling factor rather than faith. And as we begin to live by sight and not by faith, and without faith, we cannot be saved. It is impossible to be saved. And without faith, we can't be saved. So our faith has to be in God, the things of God, and not in a political system, because now this has become a political argument with the people, because there are a lot within the Republican Party seeing the light and realize what we're doing is wrong. We didn't politicize the masses. If our president, if our leader, if Jeroboam hadn't established golden calf worship, if they hadn't started the worship of man. See, that's what happened with the Republican Party. They've abandoned their party because Trump came in, he wasn't a true Republican, but the party worships him. And so now that's why it's dividing, because you have all these people that's worshiping a man and what he says. That's why the people like DeSantis and all that follows what Trump said, they're not following science and intellectual argument. Even though they may have children that go to UCLA, MIT, Harvard, Georgetown, and any of these other places, okay, if they're learning in this American system, you can privatize it all the further you want them. But you in the world. Just like Daniel and them was working in the world system. They was in the Babylonian government. They didn't abandon God. Shadrach and Meshach and them, they didn't abandon God. But they worked within that system. We have to work within the system and don't allow the system to change us. But we could see where this has morphed from a political issue, and it's been seeped into religion in the church. All the false Trojan horses come into the church sooner or later. That's why Jesus said, I'll come back and I'll fight against the church. In Revelation, those five churches he told consistently, repent, or else I'll come fight against you. False religion had contaminated the churches. It was doing in Paul's time. Paul says there was going to be people crept in unawares, with great swelling words to draw people off to themselves. But let's continue to walk here. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest? But to those who did not obey. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief stops a lot of action. They don't believe the pandemic is real. They say it's a hoax. this is not real. Just like people don't believe in religion, they don't believe in a heaven and hell, they don't believe in Jesus Christ is coming back, they didn't got their eyes off the ball. They focus on the world, and I'm focused. I don't want to get entangled in this world, but I see what's going on. I have children and grandchildren, but I'm going to trust them to the Lord, and that the Lord's going to prevail if I can keep myself straight, if I can save myself and preach the word and teach the word and do what God had given me to do. That God's running this thing. My father's in charge. I don't have any fears or worries. He says, see that you be not troubled. Hebrews 3:18-19. And to whom swear he that they should not enter his rest, but to them that did not believe? So we see that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. Our rest is in God's kingdom. Just as a lack of faith or unbelief barred ancient Israel from entering the rest, a lack of faith can bar us from entering ours, keeping us out of the family of God because of our unbelief, our rebelling against God's authority, our disobedience, which is lack in trusting in God. But what has happened with that, it has melded into a political science, a political argument. So that takes it away from faith in God and putting people that we worship with a contaminated church as the Pharisees were. See, the Pharisees had took religion and made religion legalistic, and the people seeing that the Pharisees didn't have authority that they thought they had. But God, Jesus said, obey. Listen at what the Pharisees say, but don't do as they do. Because just like this false Jesus, the false words that they're going about, if you listening and following and seeking God, you can figure this thing out. Christ will open up your eyes. He'll give you understanding. He'll give you revelations to walk therein. You know what's right and what's wrong, what to do. Because you're not trusting in man. You're trusting in God. That's where your faith lies. Your faith is in God. Not in a political party, because democratically, I think Pelosi's wrong on some of what she's doing now. It may work or whatever, but I'm not entangled in it, but I'll watch it from a distance. I think a lot of things going on, but I just watch from a distance. Kennedy said a whole lot about the state the other day, but I think it was fabrications, it was a lot of propaganda. But I think Bill Cassidy, that's his name, Bill Cassidy, I think he said the right thing and did the right thing from a perspective of the people in the world and from a point of view of somebody that's empathetic and from a Christian point of view. I think that he was the right person for that and what he said. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. We are seeing that sin is not the result of weakness as we normally would think of it, as we are weak in the flesh. And that's what the Republican and that's what a lot of people are. They want to appear strong, manly, or independent, and they don't see. That's the thing. What Paul didn't try to appear as strong in the flesh. He says, when I'm weak, then am I strong. So we're not appealing to the strong man argument, or to look boastful, or glorify ourselves, or look to triumph in all these things. And that's what YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and all these things have did people. The people that would have no anonymity or whatever are able to speak out and be something on these platforms and all of this media that's going about, and they have no stability because they're lacking sound doctrine. And that's why he told Timothy to preach the word, because it's going to be a time people don't endure sound doctrine. The not enduring of sound doctrine causes rebellion against God, people not seeing it. But that's how you get off the beaten path. It's not enduring sound doctrine. There's so many different media outlets out there and so much going on. But we have to stick to the word of God. We have to guard the truth. No matter what way it's coming at us, we have to guard the truth with all of our heart, with our lives, our very lives, we have to guard the truth. That's the sacrifice we have to make, lay down our lives for the truth. there is weakness, but what the root cause of sin is cause. When looked at closely, the root of sin is unbelief, as Israel illustrates. It's unbelief what's at the root of this. That's what causes a rebel. When you don't believe your parents, you don't believe the government, you don't believe authority that's in power, you don't believe those who have obeyed the rule of the church or whatever. The church is dividing. That's why it's so much division in the church, because of unbelief. Unbelief is a rebellion. And that's why he told Saul, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. He said, you partially obeyed the word of God. What Saul had went down and did, he had did some of what God had said, but he didn't do all. He didn't kill Amalek. He didn't kill all of them, and he saved the best of the sacrifice. You didn't, partial obedience is whole obedience. Disobedience. He didn't do all God told him to do. That's rebellion when you don't do what God tells you. Adam rebelled against God when he disobeyed God. When your children rebel against you, that means they disrespect, have contempt, don't obey the rules of your house, of the church, of the community, of the city, of the state, of the nation. All those are rebellion, and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, because it's disobedience to or authorized authority. And God told us to obey those that have that authority and rule. Now, we have afflictions and things that we have to go under, but God handles that. We have to let God do some things. Now, we can't do everything. If you notice, they didn't conquer Assyria. It was God that conquered Assyria. 185,000 were slain by angels there. Probably was some plague like the bubonic plague or something, or like this pandemic, that one night all of them was dead. But if you were religious character of witchcraft and thing, you see some angel with a sword going stabbing and killing all those 185. That wasn't how that happened. That's television. That's something in your mind. Unbelief, a lack of faith, causes and leads to producing sin in our lives. Pointing to our real foundational weak is a lack of faith. This is Paul's message in Romans 14:23. For whatever is not of faith is sin. So it causes a lot. It takes a lot to humble yourselves under the hand of God and resist Satan. Now, like I said, the consequences of rebellion, I think we could have to maybe take this next time, because I wandered way off the beaten path here. But you remember I told you, with our children, with different things in life, with me, a lot of things as we get older, the consequences of rebellion. You know, if you go out and have children and your mama told you not to do this, or some of your parents, and you went and married this guy, got involved with this, there are consequences to that. There are consequences to what David did with Bathsheba. Now, God forgave him. God rectified him. But there were consequences. The sword never left Asa's house. So rebellion, the book of Hebrews says, every sin and transgression will receive its just recompense of reward. You remember Moses was pleading for the people that had sinned against God. He said, don't destroy his people, destroy me, Lord. If anything, don't do all his people. He says, Moses, you get up and go out your bed. He says, I'll take care of those that sinned against me. So we don't know, God's not going to pour out his wrath on his church, but he will chasten and punish his children. He will chasten you, not punish you. Sometime it may end up in death. We don't know. But rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and we're dealing with a rebellious people. So I'm not hating unvaccinated people or whatever, but that's part of a rebellion there. That's rebelliousness now. That's not based in, I don't know what you're basing that on. It's not based in religion or faith. And whatever, it's not faith, is sin, because now it could be based in idolatry. It could be wrong religious teaching. because, you know, our president, Donald Trump, you know, he was of that Norman Vincent Peale. That was his religious leader. That's who married him. The power of positive thinking. In other words, you can say something and be positive about it, keep saying it's going to become true or whatever. No, that's not necessarily the case. That's a false religion. That's a false teaching. The power of positive thinking. If it's not in God's will, it's not going to be according to man's plan. Man can devise many of man's plans or whatever. But that goes to some with the word of faith and all this about speaking and believing this and speaking things into existence. You get into erroneous religious teaching when you're doing that. We have to be careful. Now, he thinks if he can repeat it so many times that he can frame this as saying it was fraud in the election, it still doesn't make it true. All these years, people have been talking about Santa Claus and Christmas and Easter bunnies. That doesn't make it true. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God,